Oh, how amazing was that? Thank you, Bookie. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the team. Thank you. You guys are amazing. I'm feeling strong this morning. As you guys know, sometimes I get a bit emotional. But thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. And guys, I'm very excited to share something with you this morning. And I want you guys just to open your hearts with what I'm going to share. God is good, eh? Amen. Does everyone confirm that God is good?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Remember what he said now. Okay. So, yeah, it's really a blessing that this morning I want to share with you something about God. God is a master builder. God is building. And when he builds his way. God is very serious about detail. And, sorry. Because of his love for us, God originally planned that we dwell with him. That's why he made the Eden. And he made Adam and Eve so that we can be with him. Always in his presence. And God was very detailed with how he made everything. God is a God of detail. There is a way that he builds that's a pattern all through from the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament. And that is a God of detail. So sometimes we think of God as this big being, entity or whatever you can call it, that's so far away because he's so big. But he says that he's in so much detail that not one hair will fall from your head without him knowing that. Not one hair will fall from your head. Pete, he knows about all your hair that you lost. God is in the detail. All the way from the ark with Noah. When he said, Noah, I will destroy this world because of the sin. So I want you to build an ark, and this is how you should do it. And he explains from the start all the way through what wood he should use, how long it should be, how he must seal the boat, everything. And then you move further on with the Israelites. When he spoke to them about the tabernacle, God was in the detail. God designed. God was like a Tracy. Tracy's interior designer. So she will design things and then submit the plans to the project manager. Am I right? Well, she's part of the project management. But then she will make sure that everything is done according to detail. Every material that she has placed in the description list needs to be there. God is in the detail. Even when they built the tabernacle, he was so in detail that because he wanted it to be perfect, he blessed the guys working with amazing craftsmanship. So the guys that made it were so good because God is in the detail. He's a master builder. I'm jumping my notes, it's so lekker. So God is very serious about us. When we do certain things in our lives, that we submit to his plan. Because God knows everything. God has planned each and every life here. We just sometimes choose not to follow that life. And then God allows circumstances to pull us back again into the course of that. And there's a beauty in it. So one of the houses that I worked in Cape Town, it was a 7-story house up the mountain there on Seapoint side that was overlooking the whole Atlantic seaboard. It was beautiful. was, it was just beautiful. I can't explain to you everything. So we were called to go to Zambia for an outreach with Mervis. So 412 wanted to send us. And a week before we went, the guy that I worked for said to me, Anton, I want you to build an arch. I almost said an arch here. And I want it to be the top of the arch should be 3 meters tall. So the finish level, the finished plaster level must be 3 meters. And then it should be a rounding like this, sending it to me on a WhatsApp. And now you have to understand, it's a 7-story building, so there's a lot of propping and you need to support the levels and make sure that nothing breaks and falls. And I say to him, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Send me the engineer's drawings. And he said, no, we don't have, but we don't have time because the client will not release the payment unless that arch is built. So I said to him, I can't build something without nothing. I need a detailed plan because this thing, if it's not designed correctly, can kill someone. So he said, no, we don't have time for that. So he sent me a voice note with how he wants me to build it. So we built the whole frame and everything, and I replied on a voice note, and then I typed out a message, screenshotted it, to cover myself to say, I am building this because of your instruction. I don't have an official site instruction. I have no engineer's drawings. If something goes wrong, you cannot come back to me. We need to get it done this week. That's building. It's like, quickly. So we build this arch. And it looked fine on the eye, but I'm like very concerned. So I put extra steel in there. I cast the cavity with steel. I'm just like, this thing should not fall. This thing should keep up. And just after we finished, before they started plastering, we traveled to Zambia to go and minister. That's actually where I met Marnie. In Zambia, on the Monday, I received messages like this on WhatsApp on how I messed up because the arch is not right. I said to him, exactly. I have no plan, my friend. And then he blamed everything on me because I bought something without a plan. Luckily, thank you, Jesus, he deleted the messages, but you can take screenshots with the phone. So I just reminded him of what he said. And then they had to break everything down because the engineer, the master builder, pitched up and said, oh, we can't accept this. So a lot of times, especially in church, we build things according to a good idea. Because we feel wise in certain circumstances. And there's a lot of wisdom amongst us here. But if we do not follow God's plan, we are building in vain. Because God has a design on how He wants to build His church. I can't build according to Anton's way because I am not the master builder like the Lord. He is the master builder. So listen to this now. Matthew 16, that was only the intro, guys. We're going to go until. So Matthew 16, 13 to 19 says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Then he asked, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. He will build his church, his way. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. You know, sometimes church falls and church breaks down and church splits. You know why? Because we have no power against hell. Because we are not building His way. Go on. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. So yet Jesus says that Peter, based on your revelation that I am the Messiah and I am the Son of God, I will build my church on that. So Jesus is saying that He will not build His church on man's good ideas. He will build His church His way. And a lot of times when we start following Jesus, it's offensive. Because it's against the world system. Jesus was hated by those who studied Scripture. But He said, Peter, on this revelation of who I am, that I am the Messiah, I am the Son of God, I will build my church on that. Not on Anton's clever ideas. We have to understand that the only way we can build healthily and with God's blessing, having the spiritual authority that He's given us, is by building God's way. We can't do it any other way. Now, after that, Jesus died on the cross, He was raised and then ascended to the heavens, and then all the believers came together, waiting on the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit was poured out over God's people, and it was chaotic. So people started speaking in other languages, they went on, and the guy said, hey, you drunk? And then Peter came and said, hey, it's only the ninth hour of the morning. If you say that in dispatch, they will say to you, yes, I know, but we're still drunk. Okay. But there, the Jews, they didn't do that. So he said, hey, it's only the ninth hour of the morning, so we are not drunk. And based on this revelation that Peter got from the Father about Jesus, Peter starts preaching the first sermon in the church in the New Testament. And Peter preached Jesus. So the first sermon that was preached, he spoke about Jesus. Jesus came. The man that you crucified. And everyone listened. You rejected Him. But He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And there was thousands of people. And because Jesus said, Peter, because you have the revelation of who I am, I will build my church on that. Now, Peter is preaching Jesus, and people are getting the same revelation that Peter had. And this was the response. Peter's words pierced their hearts. Acts 2:37. You guys are on it. Thank you. Peter's words pierced their hearts. When we do it God's way, it will cut to the heart. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away. All who have been called by the Lord our God, all have been called by the Lord of God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, longer than I will be preaching today, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. This is the response after they get the revelation of Jesus. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. God is a master builder. He said He will build His church on the revelation of who He is. After people received the revelation of who He is, the people were added to His church. About 3,000 in all. I don't think they will be able to sit 3,000 here. So there's one thing that we have to understand. God's method to reach the world, the vehicle that he will use according to the very word that we are reading, is the church. That is his design. God designed to use the church to build his kingdom. Ephesians 3, verse 10 to 11. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authority in the heavenly realms. How powerful is that? You know why is that powerful? I am teaching to you guys. I'm preaching to you guys now. The demons are hearing what I'm saying. I am preaching to the heavenly realms at the moment. There is an authority when we are submitted and yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit and doing things God's way. And this was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. God decided to use his church to display his wisdom. That wisdom from the original Greek, the meaning is it's a many-colored, richly diverse, multi-dimensional wisdom. He will use the church to display that to the world. Okay. So the church is not a spectator thing. And we talk about this a lot. The church is the stage on which God uses to display his glory. So God is using this to display his glory to the world. It's not a place where we come on a Sunday and sit and, oh, that was good. He's using the church to display his glory to the world. And God has given us certain tools to do that. And I've read the scripture many times, and I will probably read it a lot of times more because it's important. Ephesians 4 from verse 11. Because he's a master builder, he started putting stuff in place because he wants to build a certain way. He's in the detail. Like, I'm going to build my church, and this is how I'm going to do it. Okay. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. It's the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor and the teacher. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. God is a master builder. You need tools to build. The body of Christ. So now he's saying it's to build up the church, which is the body of Jesus. Where am I? This will continue on until we all come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, who is the body and the church of Christ? We are. Lynn, you're part of the body, buddy. We are the body. We are the church of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 14 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So we are a lot of people here, but we're one. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks or Afrikaans or Shona or English or I can't remember the rest. Slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, all of you together are Christ's body. Isn't that beautiful? We are Christ's body. You guys don't have the revelation yet, but you'll get it. The Holy Spirit will come now. And each of you is part of it. Each of you is part of this body, which is his body. So God is building his way. So I can't say, guys, let's do this because it's a good idea. I need to look at the manual that God has given us, and we need to build his way. I can't do anything if it's not either confirmed by the word in context and where I'm being led by the Spirit to do so. Because then it's Anton's clever ideas. I can promise you, I had many clever ideas and most of them failed in life. So each one of us has a purpose within the body. And I share a lot about this because I wanted to sink in. I wanted to go in. Each one of us, honest, you are sitting here today, not to only listen to me, but because God has placed you here. God has placed you in this body because you are a part of the body. So that means, because the church is the body of Jesus, and the first thing that happened after Jesus was preached and based on the revelation of who Jesus is, people were immediately added to the church. We cannot get saved and not become a member of a local church. We cannot do this on our own. Because this is how God designed it. Immediately, Jesus said, based on your revelation, I will build my church. And then on that revelation that Peter preached, people got saved. And immediately, in God's order, was added to the church. There was an adding, there was a putting, there was a joining. It wasn't a loosely thing. It wasn't like clothes that you can take off and tomorrow you choose the other one. It's like the pinky. I can't cut it off and put another one there tomorrow. We need to make sure that we are slotted into the local church. We need to be committed to the body of Jesus. Now, there is a danger when you are not slotted into the local church. Listen to this. If you feel, and this might be difficult to process, guys, please, the Lord has given me, I actually phone guys everywhere to make sure, can I share this? To make sure that I'm not missing it. Am I seeing the Lord right here? And they were like, go for it, Anton. They think it's right. Okay. So when we choose not to commit to a local church because it doesn't fit my needs, we are basically visiting a lot of congregations. Yes, I did go to church on Sunday. Oh, awesome. What did you do? Oh, it was a good sermon. Okay. That's good. But we are visiting around and we're not committing to it. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So he's talking about a lion here. How does a lion choose its prey? Hey? He's looking for the weak ones, the ones that's not a part of the herd. A part of the flock. The herd, flock. The group of animals. Okay? Bear with me with my Afrikaans. Because as soon as he sees, oh, that one is not slotted in. He's not covered by the church. I will tackle him first and I will devour him. And then a lot of times he uses church to cause offense so that you can use that as an excuse not to be slotted in. But now you're out of the line of what God has designed, and all of a sudden it hits you left, right, and center, and you don't know why, and you blame the church, which sometimes is true, because the church messes up a lot, because we don't always bear his way. But we can't always use that as an excuse, because the lion is looking. is waiting for the wonder, the ones that's wandering out. There is a beauty in belonging. There is a beauty in belonging. And the devil knows it. So he causes things through your life, your whole life, so that when you need to commit to a church, it will affect your viewpoint of authority and commitment. He knew it from the start. So he started affecting you from a child. Oh, but I can't so commit. You know, my father did this and this and this to me. I don't accept the authority. Thank you very much. The devil comes and he uprupts the brain and your heart and your thoughts and everything, so that when you need to fall into line with what God has designed, not people, then we have offense with what God designed, not people. Jesus was called the Rock of Offense because of that. So one of the things that we will start looking at as a church is membership. Because officially the only members that we have is Rory and Tracy. Hi. They've been on, we've also been prayed in, eh? Thank you, Lord. So, you've been ordained. Now it gets complicated. Don't ask questions now. I'm joking. Listen, no, but officially we need to start looking at membership. Why? Because God designed it that way. We need to be intentional with being slotted into the body. We need to do that. We need to be committed, like many of you are already. Most of you have already given your hearts to what God is doing here, which is absolutely beautiful. Now, Colossians 1, verse 18. So we spoke about the body now. So Christ is also the head of the church. So we have we are the body, and then Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. Not Pete's body, Jesus' body. The scripture that says, no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives. It's no longer Anton's ideas. Colossians 2:3 says, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So I want to ask a question quickly. How's my time? I'm over it. Let's go. Just go on. Okay. If I cut my pinky off and I give it to Annelien, am I still part of this body? If I was the pinky? No. Because Annelien's got my pinky. So, that thing that's being removed can still be alive for a little while. Like if you cut your finger off, you still have a little bit of a leniency to rush to the hospital so they can work it back on so that you still have a pinky. Okay, according to the book of Google, a severed finger can typically be successfully reattached or replanted within 12 hours of injury. But ideally, 4 to 6 hours. That's the teaching for the day. Don't remove a finger. Okay. So ultimately, you can remove your finger. It can live for a short while. But then because there's no oxygen and blood going through it, it will eventually rot and die, and you won't even be able to put it back into the body. You can't connect it back into the body anymore. So now I want to ask you this question. This is like, it hit me hard while I was preparing this. So if I remove the finger, it's obviously not a part of the body anymore. If I remove the finger, is it still part of the head? Christ is also the head of the church. If I remove, okay, let's do it this way. But if I remove my finger, I don't want to be a part of the body. Can I just put it to the head? Huh? It won't work. That's not how God designed the body. He designed the finger to be on the hand, and the toe to be on the foot, and the leg to be to the rest of the body. So this is how God designed church. So ultimately, we can't say, I'm not going to commit to church and I'm not going to give myself to what God has designed to do, but I will still be connected to Jesus. God didn't design it that way. I can't cut off my toe and put it to my ear because it will listen better. So that is the scary thing of how God designed, and sometimes we overlook it. It is something, and this is something that God has been speaking to the whole of Gospel Central Church. Do we have members? Do we have people to say, yes, I'm committed to the body of Christ? Because we don't have. And I'll give you an example why I'm saying this. There's a difference between a visitor and a member. Let me explain that to you guys. When you're a visitor in the church, you're like a friend. You're like a buddy, a pal. Okay. When you're a member, you become family. Now, you love both. You sometimes love the friend more than the family because they go home. Okay. You know, you sometimes just talk with a family member. Hey, that one tiny santi. Hey! You understand? But there's a difference in responsibility, and there's a difference in how we treat friends and how we treat family. That's the reality. A friend, I just want to give some differences there. A friend can visit you. So when you set up a whole thing, the family prepares it, and they make sure everything is right and ready. Like Mark and Terry came to visit us. We ran around, and I'm lying, we have Edith. We didn't run around at all. But we tried to get everything ready, and the whole house is a part of that. We called the boys together and said, boys, this is how we're going to act towards Mark and Terry, and we will honor them and respect them. Yes, Father. And then we went on, and everyone planned, because my kids are family, Mark and Terry are friends, they're coming to visit, but they will leave again. My kids will stay with me. They are my responsibility. Ephesians 2:19 says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. The difference is also friends observe. Friends can observe. Friends doesn't always get into your nitty-gritty. Family needs to get into it. If you mess up, the family needs to really stop. Oh. Of course he did this again. Oh, what are we going to do now? But if it's a friend, it's like, oh, did he? Yeah, of course he did this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, of course he's thinking of you, man. Like a baba. Oh. Ephesians 4:16 says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So now, Mark and Terry, they're staying with us. I'm using you guys as an example because we love you. Okay. They're staying. So if Mark and I have a difference, say for example, Mike is saying that, he's saying, Mike can't say anything good. So, but he's saying something that I don't like and I disagree with Mike and we disagree. Mike is leaving tonight. I'm not seeing him again. No, I'm seeing you again. Sorry, Mark. I would love to visit you guys and you guys visit us. You guys are family now. You guys are now family. Mark is the wrong example. But just so that you guys see the picture, if Annelien and I have a difference, we need to work through it. She's with me forever. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love never gives up, never loses faith, always is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. With your family, you endure through everything. Because you have to. Then, the last point on this, friends aren't held accountable necessarily. You can't discipline someone else's child directly because it's not your child. So that boy, I'm holding him, he's accountable to me. I'm checking what he's doing. And I'm teaching and molding and shaping and making sure that I build into him to make sure that he grows up to be a man. But it's different with friends. Yes, you can be held accountable because we do it. But when you become a member of the family, there's a different level of accountability. Because now you're part of us. And we will look after each other. And you know, accountability is also always a funny thing. Everyone wants to do it until you start doing it. Then it's not so fun. Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. Discipleship can only be done effectively when you belong. Because you can't run away your family now. Can't choose family, guys. Until you choose it. Galatians 16 says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. We are a family. Oh, I'm almost done. Sorry, guys. It's a long one. So this is, I'm sharing this with you because God spoke to us as leaders about this. We are going to go towards membership. What does that practically look like? Because it's necessary. It is necessary. It is God's way of building His church. And one of the very important reasons, why membership is important is because of this. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your spiritual leaders and they will and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. That's scary. And they are accountable to God. So the reality is, when I die, I will stand before God. And God will judge me for how I discipled and led honest. And then I can't say, but Lord, ach, you know what, honest. You can give so many excuses. But ultimately, I need to be able to give an account because honest is the member of the body. And I am accountable to God for honest. Am I praying for honest? Am I reaching out? And there's ways to do that. There's way, because one man can't look. When Moses was all day busy with the whole of Israel, his father-in-law came to him and said, you know, it's very unwise on how you're doing this thing. You know, you can appoint other leaders to look after these matters as well. And then if there's a very, very serious case, it can just be elevated to you and you can deal with that. So there will be ways of dealing with each and everyone, making sure that each and every member of the body is being looked after. And it will be messy. Why will it be messy? Because it's family. You want people. I messed up. I went to Felicia. Sorry, Felicia, I'm putting you on the spot here. And I couldn't worship because I had to repent towards her about something. Something that you asked me and I did not honor her. And because she is family to me, I couldn't worship the Lord. I was like, go and make right with Felicia first. And I asked Felicia to forgive me. You see. So this church is in a beautiful beginning. You know what's amazing? At the end of this month, we'll be here for 9 months. Kevin Martin said that he's got this picture of birth of a baby. And we're at the 9 months now. And it feels like God is about to give birth. There's about to be life. And we need to put stuff in place to stay in line with that life, which is ultimately Jesus and His way. We are not just gathering, we're becoming family. So over the next while, we'll explain, we'll teach, we'll guide, we'll talk about it in communities. I would actually love the communities to discuss this topic when they meet this week. Discuss this topic of membership. What does that practically look like? And then ask all the difficult questions to the community leaders. It's not just a concept, it's a calling. God has called us to do it this way. God wants us to be a part of the body so that we can be a part of the head. So I'm not saying you cannot experience Jesus outside of the body of Christ. I do believe His grace is so far that it can reach you there. But it's not sustainable to stay there. It's not something where you can stay and live in. So, my encouragement today is for each and everyone to open their hearts to what God is doing here. Ask questions. When we go towards membership, ask questions. Ask in the community. Brainstorm it. It's okay to sometimes brainstorm stuff. It's okay to feel hurt and to say that I am afraid to do this because of X, Y, and Z. It is really okay. No one will be pushed into doing it. But we, as the elders, need to be eventually be able to say, I'm looking after that one, that one, that one, because they are the members of this body. So, what I want us to do is to start moving away from visiting to a place of building. This 9 months felt like a time of restoration. Felt like the Lord has restored a lot. I mean, even the words that came out this morning was beautiful. And there's been a lot that happened in people's lives over the last couple of months. A lot of people came back to the Lord, which was absolutely beautiful. Now we need to start building His way. So I want to encourage you guys to realize that this is an eternal thing. Andrew always said, and I was the first one, but now I start to understand what he's saying, is the fact that the two most important choices in life is, will you marry and which church you join? Because that will affect you in eternity. So I want to encourage you guys, let's build God's way. And it's okay to be rattled. But let's open our hearts to what God is doing in this season. We are His body. We don't belong to us anymore. Now, this is what I felt to share with you guys this morning. And I want to encourage you, go and pray about it. Let community share openly about it. Be messy because we're family. Ask the difficult questions. But it's important that we move towards this point. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, I thank You for this morning. Lord, I thank You that You are building Your church. I thank You, Lord, that You've given us a blueprint. You've given us Your word and Your spirit so that we can have the revelation of who Jesus is so that we can effectively build on that revelation. I pray, Lord, that we will be a people who will not follow good ideas. That we will be a people who will not follow our emotions and feelings, but that we will follow you. That we will have a posture of surrendering to you and your ways. Lord, I pray for your grace over us in this season. I pray, Lord, that as we share about membership and what does that look like and commitment and what does it need to look like to actually function in my gifting? How do I do this? Lord, that you lead us, that you will equip us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are intentional with each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that each member of the body has a purpose. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be a priesthood of believers. And we submit ourselves to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much for this morning. If you guys have questions, please go and ask your community leaders. If you have questions for me, please come and ask. It is something brand new. I'm excited about it. And yeah, we love you guys so much. You guys must enjoy your week. And let's go and drink coffee. Amen. Amen.